Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this episode of the podcast featuring July 26 events, we discuss the careers of gridiron greats like Everett Struper, Bob Waterfield, Tommy McDonald, and Bob Lilly, as well as more legendary stories like the 1974 NFLPA strike and other Hall of Fame greats. And it's all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. We're glad that you could join us today. We're thankful that you use these few minutes of your day to just sit back and relax and listen to some great football history. We hope that we'll fill your brains with some great football knowledge and nuggets of great nostalgia. Now, let me digress for a second. I was traveling recently. I was at an airport, had a lot of time sitting back waiting for a flight to catch, and I observed a young mother that had a child, and the child was pretty persistent, and he wanted, he had some cereal or something that the mother had. He wanted it, and he kept begging the mother for it, and she said, no, you know, it's not, you know, time for you to eat yet. You just had a snack. And the child, you know, again, begged his mother for the snack. No, no, the mother said. No, 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 you just ate, you know. The child, this continued and continued. And finally, that child wore the mother down, and she was frustrated, you could see, and she just wanted to stop the begging of this child. So she succumbed to the little child's beggings and wishes and opened up the cereal box, gave the kid his Cheerios. Everything was happy, but the child learned a little bit of a lesson there. You know, persistent drip of water will make you go crazy. But so let's talk about that as far as the NFLPA union in this next story, which is our football history headline of the day, sponsored by newspapers.com, and it comes from the July 11, 1974 edition of the Palm Springs Post from West Palm Springs, Florida, and their headline of College All-Star Game Off. Sponsors blame NFLPA. The big game that traditionally pitted the incoming rookie All-Star team against the previous year's champs was scheduled to take place on July 26, 1974. However, the Chicago All-Star game that was supposed to be played on this date was canceled due to the NFL player strike of that year. The Miami Dolphins were on tap to play the All-Stars in this edition of the game. Finns coach Don Shula told the press that he was very sorry that the game had to be canceled. He said, "Our veterans deserved the trip to Chicago, both financially and for the prestige." A more recent SI.com article states that the NFLPA was led by the rallying cry, "No freedom, no football," as players wanted the ability to switch teams when their contracts expired. Owners scoffed, saying this would lead to anarchy. But in today's game, we call it free agency. Well, the strike lasted for 42 days. But it was fruitless as the owners stayed strong and the players broke ranks. What it may have done, though, was eventually show the players that they needed a stronger, better communicating union. What they did work towards was within a couple of decades, most of the items they fought for in 1974, the future players received in a CBA and free agency after their rookie contract was fulfilled. Now, if you enjoyed how I read through some old articles on newspapers.com, you need to get it for yourself. We will give you a free 7-day trial by going to sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and those free 7 days are all yours. And with a paid subscription at the end of those 7 days, that'll help to support this podcast and other podcasts on the Sports History Network. So once again, that address is sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Get your free week today. And I think you'll definitely be worth it because, you know, just like we read through the Palm Springs Post from West Palm Springs today on the NFLPA and the strike of 1974, you can go back and read just about anything you want to, you know, going all the way back to 1700s. And, you know, you can read quite a bit of history there. There's a lot of information on that. Now let's go to July 26, 2012. According to an NFL.com post, the league announced that the NFL Total Wellness Program that they would be initiating. And the thought was that a comprehensive health program that would provide current and former players with physical and mental health resources would benefit the players of all eras. The mission of the NFL Total Wellness, per the article, was to enhance the overall well-being of the NFL community in the areas of physical, emotional, spiritual, social, and financial health. July 26, 2019, NFL veterans reported to camp for the following teams: the Cincinnati Bengals, Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders, Dallas Cowboys, LA Rams, and San Francisco 49ers. Fast forward to the end of the season, and it was the Chiefs defeating the 49ers 31-20 in the Super Bowl that was played at Miami's Hard Rock Stadium. Stay tuned for our Birthdays of Hall of Famers for this July 26, right after this important message from our sponsor, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Telling you, folks, take advantage of that special deal. Row One Brand has some great products, and getting that 15% off by entering SHN15 code at the Pictorum Gallery of Row One Sports. Great deal, and I think you'll want to take advantage of that because there is some really neat stuff you can hang up in your man cave, in your sports room, in your den, your office, or give it as a gift. There's some great stuff there and great products. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays. July 26, 1896, Everett Struper, the halfback from Georgia Tech that earned a place in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1972's class of enrolled stars, was born. In the 1916 season, Struper scored 8 touchdowns in his team's 222-0 defeat of Cumberland College. Yes, that is a football record for lopsided scores in that Cumberland College and Georgia Tech game. July 26, 1920, Bob Waterfield, a Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined quarterback of the Rams franchise in both Cleveland and Los Angeles. He was important enough to the Rams franchise that his number 7 jersey was retired by the organization. The former UCLA Bruins signal callers had his college career briefly interrupted when the U.S. Army called him into service during World War II. His football prowess was legendary, and so was his off-field life as he married actress Jane Russell just before serving in the Army and playing for Fort Benning's 176th Infantry Football Team. Mr. Waterfield returned to the Bruins after his service in the war and with an honorable discharge due to a knee injury, and he played the 1944 season for UCLA. He was drafted as the 42nd pick in the 1945 NFL Draft by the Cleveland Rams, and as a rookie, won the starting job, led the team to a 9-1 record in the NFL Championship in an exciting 15-14 victory over the Washington Redskins. July 26, 1934, Tommy McDonald. He was a halfback flanker that made it in both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the College Football Hall of Fame. His college ball was played at Oklahoma, while he played professionally for the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, LA Rams, Atlanta Falcons, and the Cleveland Browns. As a Sooner in the 1955 college season, Mr. McDonald became the first Oklahoma player to ever score a touchdown in each game played in one season. He followed that up in 1956 by winning the coveted Maxwell Award and ranking third in Heisman voting. In the pros, he may most be well remembered for scoring on a 35-yard pass from Norm Van Brocklin as he and the Eagles defeated Vince Lombardi's Packers in the 1960 NFL Championship game. July 26, 1939, Bob Lilly. He's a member in both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and College Football Hall of Fame as well. That defensive tackle played his college ball at TCU, and as a Horned Frog, he soon became a consensus All-American. An interesting fact about Bob Lilly is that through a series of trades and circumstances, he became the first Dallas Cowboy ever draft pick. The pick was a great one too, as Lilly graced the Cowboys defense for 14 seasons and earned the nickname of Mr. Cowboy. He played in a couple of Super Bowls for Dallas, including a convincing 24-3 victory over Miami in Super Bowl VI, where Bob Lilly registered an NFL record 29-yard loss by sacking the great Dolphin quarterback, Bob Greasy. Now, for more stats on football people in the pro ranks born on July 26, check out profootballreference.com. Click on that July 26 bar, and you will see all the great pro players that were born on that day. And if you see something happening on this date that we missed, or something maybe you wanted to just know a little bit more of, or just to give us some good feedback, please let us know via email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We are sure glad to hear from you, and we will answer each and every one of your emails. I will answer personally, I guarantee that. And we appreciate those that have supported us financially by buying us a cup of coffee on the front page. You can find that little pull down menu up at the top if you would like to do so too. We appreciate that. That all goes back into the website and a podcast arena to bring you some of these great informational pieces of history that we share with you each and every day. We'd like to do more of that. We want to get out and get some more and better equipment to take some great photographs to share with you on the website, and get some equipment to enhance the podcast experience for you, our listener, because we definitely appreciate you. We enjoy you coming here each and every day and giving us the patronage. And we hope that you also go to sportshistorynetwork.com and check out the other 20 podcasts that are over there on great sports history themes and events and excellent guests. So make sure you check out the talented guys over there. And you can go to pigskindispatch.com to see all of our information on football history. It's a football-only page, the Portal of Positive Football History. And we have all of our podcasts. We have some of our YouTube videos on there and all of our blog posts. And we'd love to have your feedback and have you join us and tell us what you think. And good, bad, and the ugly, we'll take it all. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.